threatened to uproot and shatter an evil nation, and that nation turns from its evil, I will change my mind. If I promise to make a nation strong, but its people start disobeying me and doing evil, then I will change my mind and not help them at all. So listen to me, people of Judah and Jerusalem. I have decided to strike you with disaster, and I won't change my mind unless you stop sinning and start living right. But I know you won't listen. You might as well answer, "We don't care what you say. We have made plans to sin, and we are going to be stubborn and do what we want." So I, the Lord, command you to ask the nations, and find out if they have ever heard of such a horrible sin as what you have done. The snow on Lebanon's mountains never melts away, and the streams there never run dry. But you, my people, have turned from me to burn incense to worthless idols. You have left the ancient road to follow an unknown path where you stumble over idols. Your land will be ruined, and every passerby will look at it with horror and make insulting remarks. When your enemies attack, I will scatter you like dust blown by an eastern wind. Then, on that day of disaster, I will turn my back on you. The plot against Jeremiah. Some of the people said, "Let's get rid of Jeremiah. We will always have priests to teach us God's laws, as well as wise people to give us advice and prophets to speak the Lord's messages. So instead of listening to Jeremiah any longer, let's accuse him of a crime." Jeremiah prays about his enemies. "Please, Lord, answer my prayer. Make my enemies stop accusing me of evil. I tried to help them, but they are paying me back by digging a pit to trap me. I even begged you not to punish them. But now I am asking you to let their children starve or be killed in war. Let women lose their husbands and sons to disease and violence. These people have dug pits and set traps for me, Lord. Make them scream in fear when you send enemy troops to attack their homes. You know they plan to kill me. So get angry and punish them. Don't ever forgive their terrible crimes." Jeremiah and the Clay Jar. Chapter 19. The Lord said, "Jeremiah, go to the pottery shop and buy a clay jar. Then take along some of the city officials and leading priests, and go to Hinnom Valley, just outside Potsherd Gate. Tell the people that I have said, 'I am the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel. And you kings of Judah and you people of Jerusalem had better pay attention. I am going to bring so much trouble on this valley that everyone who hears about it will be shocked. The people of Judah stopped worshiping me and made this valley into a place of worship for Baal and other gods that have never helped them or their ancestors or their kings. And they have committed murder here, burning their young innocent children as sacrifices to Baal. I have never even thought of telling you to do that. So watch out. Someday this place will no longer be called Topheth or Hinnom Valley. It will be called Slaughter Valley. You people of Judah and Jerusalem may have big plans, but here in this valley, I'll ruin those plans. I'll let your enemies kill you, and I'll tell the birds and wild animals to eat your dead bodies. I will turn Jerusalem into a pile of rubble, and every passerby will be shocked and horrified, and will make insulting remarks. And while your enemies are trying to break through your city walls to kill you, the food supply will run out. You will become so hungry that you will eat the flesh of your friends, and even of your own children. Jeremiah, as soon as you have said this, smash the jar while the people are watching. Then tell them that I have also said, I am the Lord all-powerful, and I warn you that I will shatter Judah and Jerusalem, just like this jar that is broken beyond repair. You will bury your dead here in Topheth, but so many of you will die that there won't be enough room. I will make Jerusalem as unclean as Topheth by filling the city with your dead bodies. I will do this because you and your kings have gone up to the roofs of your houses and burned incense to the stars in the sky, as though they were gods. And you have given sacrifices of wine to foreign gods. Jeremiah speaks in the temple courtyard. I went to Topheth, where I told the people what the Lord had said. Then I went to the temple courtyard and shouted to the people, Listen, everyone. Some time ago, the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, warned you that he would bring disaster on Jerusalem and all nearby villages. But you were stubborn and refused to listen. Now the Lord is going to bring the disaster he promised. Pashur arrests Jeremiah. Chapter 20. Pashur, son of Immer, was a priest and the chief of temple security. He heard what I had said, and so he hit me. Then he had me arrested and put in chains at the Benjamin Gate in the Lord's temple. The next day, when Pashur let me go free, I told him that the Lord had said, No longer will I call you Pashur. Instead, I will call you afraid of everything. You will be afraid, and you will bring fear to your friends as well. You will see enemies kill them in battle. Then I will have the king of Babylonia take everyone in Judah prisoner, killing some and dragging the rest away to Babylonia. He will clean out the royal treasury and take everything else of value from Jerusalem. Pashur, you are guilty of telling lies and claiming they were messages from me. That's why I will have the Babylonians take you, your family, and your friends as prisoners to Babylonia, where you will all die and be buried. Jeremiah complains to the Lord. You tricked me, Lord, and I was really fooled. You are stronger than I am, and you have defeated me. People never stop sneering and insulting me. You have let me announce only destruction and death. Your message has brought me nothing but insults and trouble. Sometimes I tell myself not to think about you, Lord, or even mention your name. But your message burns in my heart and bones, and I cannot keep silent. I heard the crowds whisper, Everyone is afraid. Now's our chance to accuse Jeremiah. All of my so-called friends are just waiting for me to make a mistake. They say, Maybe Jeremiah can be tricked. Then we can overpower him and get even at last. But you, Lord, are a mighty soldier standing at my side. Those troublemakers will fall down and fail, terribly embarrassed, forever ashamed. Lord All-Powerful, you test those who do right, and you know every heart and mind. I have told you my complaints. So let me watch you take revenge on my enemies. I sing praises to you, Lord. You rescue the oppressed from the wicked. Put a curse on the day I was born. Don't bless my mother. Put a curse on the man who told my father, "Good news, you have a son." May that man be like the towns you destroyed without pity. Let him hear shouts of alarm in the morning and battle cries at noon. He deserves to die for not killing me before I was born. Then my mother's body would have been my grave. Why did I have to be born? Was it just to suffer and die in shame? The Lord will fight against Jerusalem. Chapter 21. King Zedekiah of Judah sent for Pasher, son of Malchiah, and for a priest named Zephaniah, son of Maaseiah. Then he told them, "Talk with Jeremiah for me." So they came to me and said, "King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia has attacked Judah. Please ask the Lord to work miracles for our people, as he has done in the past, so that Nebuchadnezzar will leave us alone." I told them that the Lord God of Israel had told me to say to King Zedekiah, "The Babylonians have surrounded Jerusalem and want to kill you and your people. You are asking me to save you, but you have made me furious. So I will stretch out my mighty arm and fight against you myself. Your army is using spears and swords to fight the Babylonians, but I will make your own weapons turn and attack you. I will send a horrible disease to kill many of the people and animals in Jerusalem, and there will be nothing left to eat. Finally, I will let King Nebuchadnezzar and his army fight their way to the center of Jerusalem and capture everyone who is left alive, including you and your officials. But Nebuchadnezzar won't be kind or show any mercy. He will have you killed. I, the Lord, have spoken." Then I told them that the Lord had said, "People of Jerusalem, I, the Lord, give you the choice of life or death. The Babylonian army has surrounded Jerusalem. So if you want to live, you must go out and surrender to them. But if you want to die because of hunger, disease, or war, then stay here in the city. I have decided not to rescue Jerusalem. Instead, I am going to let the king of Babylonia burn it to the ground. I, the Lord, have spoken." The Lord warns the king of Judah. "Pay attention, you that belong to the royal family. Each new day, make sure that justice is done and rescue those who are being robbed, or else my anger will flame up like a fire that never goes out. Jerusalem, from your mountaintop, you look out over the valleys and think you are safe. But I, the Lord, am angry, and I will punish you as you deserve. I'll set your palace on fire, and everything around you will go up in smoke." The Lord will punish the king of Judah. Chapter 22. The Lord sent me to the palace of the king of Judah to speak to the king, his officials, and everyone else who was there. The Lord told me to say, "I am the Lord, so pay attention. You have been allowing people to cheat, rob, and take advantage of widows, orphans, and foreigners who live here. Innocent people have become victims of violence, and some of them have even been killed. But now I command you to do what is right and see that justice is done. Rescue everyone who has suffered from injustice. If you obey me, the kings from David's family will continue to rule Judah from this palace. They and their officials will ride in and out on their horses or in their chariots. But if you ignore me, I promise in my own name that this palace will lie in ruins. Listen to what I think about it. The palace of Judah's king is as glorious as Gilead or Lebanon's highest peaks. But it will be as empty as a ghost town when I'm through with it. I'll send troops to tear it apart, and its beautiful cedar beams will be used for firewood. People from different nations will pass by and ask, "Why did the Lord do this to such a great city as Jerusalem?" Others will answer, "It's because the people worshipped foreign gods and broke the agreement that the Lord their God had made with them." King Jehoahaz. The Lord said, "King Josiah is dead, so don't cry for him. Instead, cry for his son, King Jehoahaz, dragged off to another country, never to return." Jehoahaz became king of Judah after his father King Josiah died. But Jehoahaz was taken as a prisoner to a foreign country. Now I, the Lord, promise that he will die there without ever seeing his own land again. King Jehoiakim. The Lord told me to say, "King Jehoiakim, you are doomed. You built a palace with large rooms upstairs. You put in big windows and used cedar paneling and red paint. But you were unfair and forced the builders to work without pay. More cedar in your palace doesn't make you a better king than your father Josiah. He always did right. He gave justice to the poor and was honest. That's what it means to truly know me." So he lived a comfortable life and always had enough to eat and drink. But all you think about is how to cheat or abuse or murder some innocent victim. Jehoiakim, no one will cry at your funeral. They won't turn to each other and ask, "Why did our great king have to die?" You will be given a burial fit for a donkey. Your body will be dragged outside the city gates and tossed in the dirt. I, the Lord, have spoken. King Jehoiakim and the people of Jerusalem. The Lord told me to say, "People of Jerusalem, the nations you trusted have been crushed. Go to Lebanon and weep. Cry in the land of Bashan and in Moab. When times were good, I warned you, but you ignored me, just as you have done since Israel was young. Now you will be disgraced because of your sins. Your leaders will be swept away by the wind, and the nations you trusted will be captured and dragged to a foreign country. Those who live in the palace paneled with cedar will groan with pain like women giving birth. King Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, even if you were the ring I wear as the sign of my royal power, I would still pull you from my finger. I would hand you over to the enemy you fear, to King Nebuchadnezzar and his army who want to kill you. You and your mother were born in Judah, but I will throw both of you into a foreign country where you will die longing to return home. Jehoiakim, you are unwanted, like a broken clay pot. So you and your children will be thrown into a country you know nothing about. Land of Judah, I am the Lord. Now listen to what I say. Erase the names of Jehoiakim's children from the royal records. He is a complete failure, and so none of them will ever be king. I, the Lord, have spoken. A Message of Hope, Chapter 23. The Lord said, "You leaders of my people are like shepherds that kill and scatter the sheep. You were supposed to take care of my people, but instead you chase them away. So now I'll really take care of you, and believe me, you will pay for your crimes. I will bring the rest of my people home from the lands where I have scattered them, and they will grow into a mighty nation. I promise to choose leaders who will care for them like real shepherds. All of my people will be there, and they will never again be frightened. Someday I will appoint an honest king from the family of David, a king who will be wise and rule with justice. As long as he is king, Israel will have peace, and Judah will be safe. The name of this king will be The Lord Gives Justice. A time will come when you will again worship me. But you will no longer call me the living God who rescued Israel from Egypt. Instead, you will call me the living God who rescued you from the land in the north and from all the other countries where I had forced you to go. And you will once again live in your own land." Jeremiah thinks about unfaithful prophets. "When I think of the prophets, I am shocked, and I tremble like someone drunk, because of the Lord and His sacred words. Those unfaithful prophets misused their power all over the country. So God turned the pasture lands into scorching deserts. The Lord will punish unfaithful prophets. The Lord told me to say, 'You prophets and priests think so little of me, the Lord, that you even sin in my own temple. Now I will punish you with disaster, and you will slip and fall in the darkness. I, the Lord, have spoken.' The prophets in Samaria were disgusting to me, because they preached in the name of Baal and led my people astray. And you prophets in Jerusalem are even worse. You're unfaithful in marriage and never tell the truth. You even lead others to sin instead of helping them turn back to me. You and the people of Jerusalem are evil like Sodom and Gomorrah. You prophets in Jerusalem have spread evil everywhere. That's why I, the Lord, promise to give you bitter poison to eat and drink." The Lord gives a warning. The Lord said, "Don't listen to the lies of these false prophets, you people of Judah. The message they preach is something they imagined. It did not come from me, the Lord All-Powerful. These prophets go to people who refuse to respect me, and who are stubborn and do whatever they want. The prophets tell them, 'The Lord has promised everything will be fine.' But I, the Lord, tell you that these prophets have never attended a meeting of my council in heaven or heard me speak. They are evil. So in my anger, I will strike them like a violent storm. I won't calm down until I have finished what I have decided to do. Someday you will understand exactly what I mean. I did not send these prophets or speak to them, but they ran to find you and to preach their message. If they had been in a meeting of my council in heaven, they would have told you, people of Judah, to give up your sins and come back to me. I am everywhere, both near and far, in heaven and on earth. There are no secret places where you can hide from me. These unfaithful prophets claim that I have given them a dream or a vision, and then they tell lies in my name. But everything they say comes from their own twisted minds. How long can this go on? They tell each other their dreams and try to get my people to reject me, just as their ancestors left me and worshipped Baal. Their dreams and my truth are as different as straw and wheat. But when prophets speak for me, they must say only what I have told them. My words are a powerful fire. They are a hammer that shatters rocks. These unfaithful prophets claim I give them their dreams, but it isn't true. I didn't choose them to be my prophets. And yet they babble on and on, speaking in my name, while stealing words from each other. And when my people hear these liars, they are led astray instead of being helped. So I warn you that I am now the enemy of these prophets. I, the Lord, have spoken. News and nuisance. The Lord said to me, Jeremiah, when a prophet or a priest or anyone else comes to you and asks, does the Lord have news for us? Tell them, you people are a nuisance to the Lord, and he will get rid of you. If any of you say, here is news from the Lord, I will punish you and your families, even if you are a prophet or a priest. Instead, you must ask your friends and relatives, what answer did the Lord give? Or, what has the Lord said? It seems that you each have your own news. So if you say, here is news from the Lord, you are twisting my words into a lie. Remember that I am your God, the Lord all-powerful. If you go to a prophet, it's all right to ask, what answer did the Lord give to my question, or what has the Lord said? But if you disobey me and say, here is news from the Lord, I will pick you up and throw you far away, and I will abandon the city of Jerusalem that I gave to your ancestors. You will never be free from your shame and disgrace.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Jeremiah has a vision of two baskets of figs. Chapter 24. The Lord spoke to me in a vision after King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia had come to Judah and taken King Jehoiakim, his officials, and all the skilled workers back to Babylonia. In this vision, I saw two baskets of figs in front of the Lord's temple. One basket was full of very good figs that ripened early, and the other was full of rotten figs that were not fit to eat. Jeremiah, the Lord asked, what do you see? Figs, I said. Some are very good, but the others are too rotten to eat. Then the Lord told me to say, people of Judah, the good figs stand for those of you I sent away as exiles to Babylonia, where I am watching over them. Then someday I will bring them back to this land. I will plant them instead of uprooting them. And I will build them up rather than tearing them down. I will give them a desire to know me and to be my people. They will want me to be their God, and they will turn back to me with all their heart. The rotten figs stand for King Zedekiah of Judah, his officials, and all the others who were not taken away to Babylonia, whether they stayed here in Judah or went to live in Egypt. I will punish them with a terrible disaster, and everyone on earth will tremble when they hear about it. I will force the people of Judah to go to foreign countries, where they will be cursed and insulted. War and hunger and disease will strike them, until they finally disappear from the land that I gave them and their ancestors. 70 years of exile. Chapter 25. In the 4th year that Jehoiakim was king of Judah, which was the 1st year that Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylonia, the Lord told me to speak to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. So I told them, "For 23 years now, ever since the 13th year that Josiah was king, I have been telling you what the Lord has told me, but you have not listened. The Lord has sent prophets to you time after time, but you refuse to listen. They told you that the Lord had said, 'Change your ways. If you stop doing evil, I will let you stay forever in this land that I gave your ancestors. I don't want to harm you. So don't make me angry by worshiping idols and other gods.' But you refuse to listen to my prophets. So I, the Lord, say that you have made me angry by worshiping idols, and you are the ones who were hurt by what you did. You refused to listen to me. And now I will let you be attacked by nations from the north, and especially by my servant King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia. You and other nearby nations will be destroyed and left in ruins forever. Everyone who sees what has happened will be shocked, but they will still make fun of you. I will put an end to your parties and wedding celebrations. No one will grind grain or be here to light the lamps at night. This country will be as empty as a desert, because I will make all of you the slaves of the king of Babylonia for 70 years. When that time is up, I will punish the king of Babylonia and his people for everything they have done wrong, and I will turn that country into a wasteland forever. My servant Jeremiah has told you what I said I will do to Babylonia and to the other nations, and he wrote it all down in this book. I will do everything I threatened. I will pay back the Babylonians for every wrong they have done. Great kings from many other nations will conquer the Babylonians and force them to be slaves. The cup full of God's anger. The Lord God of Israel showed me a vision in which he said, "Jeremiah, here is a cup filled with the wine of my anger. Take it and make every nation drink some. They will vomit and act crazy because of the war this cup of anger will bring to them." I took the cup from the Lord's hand, and I went to the kings of the nations and made each of them drink some. I started with Jerusalem and the towns of Judah, and the king and his officials were removed from power and disgrace. Everyone still makes insulting jokes about them and uses their names as curse words. The second place I went was Egypt, where everyone had to drink from the cup, including the king and his officials, the other government workers, the rest of the Egyptians, and all the foreigners who lived in the country. Next, I went to the king of Uz, and then to the 4 kings of Philistia, who ruled from Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and what was left of Ashdod. Then I went to the kings of Edom, Moab, Ammon, and to the kings of Tyre, Sidon, and their colonies across the sea. After this, I went to the kings of Dedan, Tema, Buz, the tribes of the Arabian desert, Zimri, Elam, Media, and the countries in the north, both near and far. I went to all the countries on earth, one after another, and finally to Babylonia. The Lord had said to tell each king, "The Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, commands you to drink from this cup that is full of the wine of his anger. It will make you so drunk that you will vomit. And when the Lord sends war against the nations, you will be completely defeated." The Lord told me that if any of them refused to drink from the cup, I must tell them that he had said, "I, the Lord All-Powerful, command you to drink." Starting with my own city of Jerusalem, everyone on earth will suffer from war. So there is no way I will let you escape unharmed. The Lord told me to say, "From my sacred temple, I will roar like thunder while I trample my people and everyone else as though they were grapes. My voice will be heard everywhere on earth, accusing nations of their crimes and sentencing the guilty to death." Disaster is coming. The Lord All-Powerful says, "You can see disaster spreading from far across the earth, from nation to nation, like a horrible storm. When it strikes, I will kill so many people that their bodies will cover the ground like manure. No one will be left to bury them or to mourn." The leaders of Judah will be punished. The Lord's people are his flock, and you leaders were the shepherds. But now it's your turn to be butchered like sheep. You'll shatter like fine pottery dropped on the floor. So roll on the ground, crying and mourning. You have nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Listen to the cries of the shepherds as the Lord's burning anger turns peaceful meadows into barren deserts. The Lord has abandoned his people, like a lion leaving its den. Jeremiah's Message in the Temple, Chapter 26. Soon after Jehoiakim became king of Judah, the Lord said, "Jeremiah, I have a message for everyone who comes from the towns of Judah to worship in my temple. Go to the temple courtyard and speak every word that I tell you. Maybe the people will listen this time. And if they stop doing wrong, I will change my mind and not punish them for their sins. Tell them that I have said, 'You have refused to listen to me and to obey my laws and teachings. Again and again I have sent my servants, the prophets, to preach to you, but you ignored them as well. Now I am warning you that if you don't start obeying me right away, I will destroy this temple, just as I destroyed the town of Shiloh. Then everyone on earth will use the name Jerusalem as a curse word.'" Jeremiah on trial. The prophets, the priests, and everyone else in the temple heard what I said, and as soon as I finished, they all crowded around me and started shouting, "Why did you preach that the Lord will destroy this temple, just as he destroyed Shiloh? Why did you say that Jerusalem will be empty and lie in ruins? You ought to be put to death for saying such things in the Lord's name." Then they had me arrested. The royal officers heard what had happened, and they came from the palace to the new gate of the temple to be the judges at my trial. While they listened, the priests and the prophets said to the crowd, "All of you have heard Jeremiah prophesy that Jerusalem will be destroyed. He deserves the death penalty." Then I told the judges and everyone else. The Lord himself sent me to tell you about the terrible things he will do to you, to Jerusalem, and to the temple. But if you change your ways and start obeying the Lord, he will change his mind. You must decide what to do with me. Just do whatever you think is right. But if you put me to death, you and everyone else in Jerusalem will be guilty of murdering an innocent man, because everything I preached came from the Lord. The judges and the other people told the priests and prophets, "Since Jeremiah only told us what the Lord our God had said, we don't think he deserves to die." Then some of the leaders from other towns stepped forward. They told the crowd that years ago, when Hezekiah was king of Judah, a prophet named Micah from the town of Moresheth had said, "I, the Lord All-Powerful, say Jerusalem will be plowed under and left in ruins. Thorns will cover the mountain where the temple now stands." Then the leaders continued, "No one put Micah to death for saying that. Instead, King Hezekiah prayed to the Lord with fear and trembling and asked him to have mercy. Then the Lord decided not to destroy Jerusalem, even though he had already said he would. People of Judah, if Jeremiah is killed, we will bring a terrible disaster on ourselves." After these leaders finished speaking, an important man named Ahikam, son of Shaphan, spoke up for me as well. And so I wasn't handed over to the crowd to be killed. Uriah the prophet. While Jehoiakim was still king of Judah, a man named Uriah, son of Shemaiah, left his hometown of Kiriath-Jearim and came to Jerusalem. Uriah was one of the Lord's prophets, and he was saying the same things about Judah and Jerusalem that I had been saying. And when Jehoiakim and his officials and military officers heard what Uriah said, they tried to arrest him, but he escaped to Egypt. So Jehoiakim sent Elnathan, son of Achbor, and some other men after Uriah, and they brought him back. Then Jehoiakim had Uriah killed, and his body dumped in a common burial pit. Slaves of Nebuchadnezzar, Chapter 27. Not long after Zedekiah became king of Judah, the Lord told me, "Jeremiah, make a wooden yoke with leather straps and place it on your neck. Then send a message to the kings of Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre, and Sidon. Some officials from these countries are in Jerusalem, meeting with Zedekiah. So have them tell their kings that I have said, 'I am the all-powerful Lord God of Israel, and with my power, I created the earth, its people, and all animals. I decide who will rule the earth. And I have chosen my servant King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia to rule all nations, including yours. I will even let him rule the wild animals. All nations will be slaves of Nebuchadnezzar, his son, and his grandson. Then many nations will join together, and their kings will be powerful enough to make slaves of the Babylonians. This yoke stands for the power of King Nebuchadnezzar, and I will destroy any nation that refuses to obey him. Nebuchadnezzar will attack, and many will die in battle or from hunger and disease. You might have people in your kingdom who claim they can tell the future by magic, or by talking with the dead, or by dreams, or messages from a god. But don't pay attention if any of them tell you not to obey Nebuchadnezzar. If you listen to such lies, I will have you dragged far from your country and killed. But if you and your nation are willing to obey Nebuchadnezzar, I will let you stay in your country, and your people will continue to live and work on their farms." After I had spoken to the officials from the nearby kingdoms, I went to King Zedekiah and told him the same thing. Then I said, "Zedekiah, if you and the people of Judah want to stay alive, you must obey Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. But if you refuse, then you and your people will die from war, hunger, and disease, just as the Lord has warned. Your prophets have told you that you don't need to obey Nebuchadnezzar, but don't listen to their lies. Those prophets claim to be speaking for the Lord, but he didn't send them. They are lying. If you do what they say, he will have both you and them dragged off to another country and killed. The Lord has spoken." When I finished talking to the king, I went to the priests and told them that the Lord had said, "Don't listen to the prophets when they say that very soon the Babylonians will return the things they took from my temple. Those prophets are lying. If you choose to obey the king of Babylonia, you will live. But if you listen to those prophets, this whole city will be nothing but a pile of rubble. If I really had spoken to those prophets, they would know what I am going to do. Then they would be begging me not to let everything else be taken from the temple and the king's palace and the rest of Jerusalem. After all, when Nebuchadnezzar took King Jehoiakim to Babylonia as a prisoner, he didn't take everything of value from Jerusalem. He left the bronze pillars, the huge bronze bowl called the Sia, and the movable bronze stands in the temple. And he left a lot of other valuable things in the palace and in the rest of Jerusalem. But now I, the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, say that all these things will be taken to Babylonia, where they will remain until I decide to bring them back to Jerusalem. I, the Lord, have spoken." Jeremiah accuses Hananiah of being a false prophet. Chapter 28. Later that same year, in the fifth month of the fourth year that Zedekiah was king, the prophet Hananiah, son of Azur from Gibeon, came up to me in the temple. And while the priests and others in the temple were listening, he told me that the Lord had said, "I am the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, and I will smash the yoke that Nebuchadnezzar put on the necks of the nations to make them his slaves. And within 2 years I will bring back to Jerusalem everything that he took from my temple and carried off to Babylonia. King Jehoiakim and the other people who were taken from Judah to Babylonia will be allowed to come back here as well. All this will happen because I will smash the power of the king of Babylonia." The priests and the others were still standing there, so I said, "Hananiah, I hope the Lord will do exactly what you said. I hope he does bring back everything the Babylonians took from the temple, and that our people who were taken to Babylonia will be allowed to return home. But let me remind you and everyone else that long before we were born, prophets were saying powerful kingdoms would be struck by war, disaster, and disease. Now you are saying we will have peace. We will just have to wait and see if that is really what the Lord has said." Hananiah grabbed the wooden yoke from my neck and smashed it. Then he said, "The Lord says this is the way he will smash the power Nebuchadnezzar has over the nations, and it will happen in less than 2 years." I left the temple. And a little while later the Lord told me to go back and say to Hananiah, I am the Lord all-powerful, the God of Israel. You smashed a wooden yoke, but I will replace it with one made of iron. I will put iron yokes on all the nations, and they will have to do what King Nebuchadnezzar commands. I will even let him rule the wild animals. Hananiah, I have never sent you to speak for me, and yet you have talked my people into believing your lies and rebelling against me. So now I will send you. I'll send you right off the face of the earth. You will die before this year is over. 2 months later, Hananiah died. Jeremiah's letter to the people of Judah in Babylonia. Chapter 29. I had been left in Jerusalem when King Nebuchadnezzar took many of the people of Jerusalem and Judah to Babylonia as prisoners, including King Jehoiakim, his mother, his officials, and the metal workers and others in Jerusalem who were skilled in making things. So I wrote a letter to the prophets, the priests, the leaders, and the rest of our people in Babylonia. I gave the letter to Elisha and Gemariah, two men that King Zedekiah of Judah was sending to Babylon to talk with Nebuchadnezzar. In the letter, I wrote that the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, had said, I had you taken from Jerusalem to Babylonia. Now I tell you to settle there and build houses, plant gardens and eat what you grow in them, get married and have children. Then help your sons find wives, and help your daughters find husbands, so they can have children as well. I want your numbers to grow, not to get smaller. Pray for peace in Babylonia, and work hard to make it prosperous. The more successful that nation is, the better off you will be. Some of your people there in Babylonia are fortune tellers, and you have asked them to tell you what will happen in the future. But they will only lead you astray. And don't let the prophets fool you either. They speak in my name, but they are liars. I have not spoken to them. After Babylonia has been the strongest nation for 70 years, I will be kind and bring you back to Jerusalem, just as I have promised. I will bless you with a future filled with hope, a future of success, not of suffering. You will turn back to me and ask for help, and I will answer your prayers. You will worship me with all your heart, and I will be with you and accept your worship. Then I will gather you from all the nations where I scattered you, and you will return to Jerusalem. You feel secure because you think I have sent prophets to speak for me in Babylonia. But I have been sending prophets to the people of Judah for a long time. And the king from David's family and the people who are left in Jerusalem and Judah still don't obey me. So I, the Lord All-Powerful, will keep attacking them with war and hunger and disease until they are as useless as rotten figs. I will force them to leave the land, and all nations will be disgusted and shocked at what happens to them. The nations will sneer and make fun of them, and use the names Judah and Jerusalem as curse words. And you have not obeyed me, even though I had you taken from Jerusalem to Babylonia. But you had better listen to me now. You think Ahab, son of Kaleah, and Zedekiah, son of Maaseiah, are prophets because they claim to speak for me. But they are lying. I haven't told them anything. They are also committing other horrible sins in your community, such as sleeping with the wives of their friends. so I will hand them over to King Nebuchadnezzar, who will put them to death while the rest of you watch. And in the future, when you want to put a curse on someone, you will say, I pray that the Lord will kill you in the same way the king of Babylonia burned Zedekiah and Ahab to death. A message for Shemaiah. The Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, told me what would happen to Shemaiah, who was one of our people in Babylonia. After my letter reached Babylonia, Shemaiah wrote letters to the people of Jerusalem, including the priest Zephaniah, son of Maaseiah, and the other priests. The letter to Zephaniah said, After the death of Jehoiada the priest, the Lord chose you to be the priest in charge of the temple security force. You know that anyone who acts crazy and pretends to be a prophet should be arrested and put in chains and iron collars. Jeremiah, from the town of Anathoth, is pretending to be a prophet there in Jerusalem. So why haven't you punished him? He even wrote a letter to the people here in Babylonia, saying we would be here a long time. He told us to build homes and to plant gardens and grow our own food. When Zephaniah received Shemaiah's letter, he read it to me. Then the Lord told me what to write in a second letter to the people of Judah who had been taken to Babylonia. In this letter I wrote that the Lord had said, I, the Lord, have not chosen Shemaiah to be one of my prophets, and he has misled you by telling lies in my name. He has even talked you into disobeying me. So I will punish Shemaiah. He and his descendants won't live to see the good things I will do for my people. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Lord will rescue Israel and Judah. Chapter 30. The Lord God of Israel said, Jeremiah, get a scroll and write down everything I have told you. Someday I will let my people from both Israel and Judah return to the land I gave their ancestors. Then the Lord told me to say to Israel and Judah, I, the Lord, hear screams of terror, and there is no peace. Can men give birth? Then why do I see them looking so pale and clutching their stomachs like women in labor? My people, soon you will suffer worse than ever before, but I will save you. Now you are slaves of other nations, but I will break the chains and smash the yokes that keep you in slavery. Then you will be my servants, and I will choose a king for you from the family of David. Israel, you belong to me, so don't be afraid. You deserve to be punished. That's why I scattered you in distant nations. But I am with you, and someday I will destroy those nations. Then I will bring you and your descendants back to your land, where I will protect you and give you peace. Then your fears will be gone. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Lord will heal Israel and Judah. The Lord said, My people, you are wounded and near death. You are accused of a crime with no one to defend you, and you are covered with sores that no medicine can cure. Your friends have forgotten you. They don't care anymore. Even I have acted like an enemy. And because your sins are horrible and countless, I will be cruel as I punish you. So don't bother to cry out for relief from your pain. But if your enemies try to rob or destroy you, I will rob and destroy them, and they will be led as captives to foreign lands. No one wants you as a friend or cares what happens to you. But I will heal your injuries, and you will get well. The Lord will rescue Israel and Judah. The Lord said, Israel, I will be kind to you and let you come home. Jerusalem now lies in ruins, but you will rebuild it, complete with a new palace. Other nations will respect and honor you. Your homes will be filled with children, and you will celebrate, singing praises to me. It will be just like old times. Your nation will worship me, and I will punish anyone who abuses you. One of your own people will become your ruler, and when I invite him to come near me at the place of worship, he will do so. No one would dare to come near without being invited. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I, the Lord, have spoken. I am furious, and like a violent storm, I will strike those who do wrong. I won't calm down until I have finished what I have decided to do. Someday, you will understand what I mean. Israel will return to God. Chapter 31. The Lord said, Israel, I promise that someday all your tribes will again be my people, and I will be your God. In the desert I was kind to those who escaped death. I gave them peace, and when the time is right, I'll do the same for you. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Lord will rebuild Israel. Some time ago, the Lord appeared to me and told me to say, Israel, I will always love you. That's why I've been so patient and kind. You are precious to me, and so I will rebuild.